As we mentioned earlier, April 5th today marks the Qingming Festival or Tomb Sweeping Day, so we'll share something old and something new about this traditional festival in China. So first of all, what exactly is this festival?
So the traditional Chinese lunar calendar divides the year into 24 solar terms, and the clear and bright, or Qingming in Chinese, the fifth solar term starts this year on April the 5th, and the Qingming is the Qingming we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So this a lunar calendar solar term as well as a festival. Of all the 24 terms, actually, clear and bright is the only one whose first day is also a traditional Chinese festival. So the Tomb Sweeping Day or Qingming Festival, the words clear and bright actually are the words Qing and Ming. They are describing the weather during this period, and from that date, temperature begins to rise and rainfall increases. That's the common situation, maybe not for today. Today is particularly cold.
Especially not for Beijing today, because yesterday I remember we had hail, and in some part of the city we had snow, heavy snow.
Yesterday, yes. It was heavy. So, and it's actually winter in spring.
Yes, winter in spring.
Wow, and this is the very Qingming that we have been spending, you know, looking at the snowflakes, and it's very beautiful, actually.
It's very beautiful, and I think even though we don't really have the bright part of the Qingming, the clear part is absolutely here. Yeah, mm-hmm. And the gloomy kind of atmosphere fits people's activities, especially when some of them are going outside, remembering their ancestors and doing tomb sweeping, which is a very important activity during this festival.
But commemorating the deceased should not necessarily to be sad. I mean,
sure.
Sometimes the purpose of commemorating or remembering our loved ones who have already been deceased is to celebrate life and cherish the livings. So that's why I think Chinese people are a little bit from the gloomy side.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the future we will switch slowly but surely to the celebration of life side when we spend or commemorate the holiday. Public holiday, Qingming, actually once starting from the Tang Dynasty, it was included as a public holiday thing.
Oh, very interesting.
Long, long time ago.
Actually, it goes even way back than Tang Dynasty.
Mm.
It seems the festival has a tradition back in, spring and autumn era.
Yeah.
So there was this guy named Jie Zitui who helped his king ascend to the throne. And the king was very grateful that the king was certainly, in the first place, he forgot all about Jie Zitui once he ascended to the throne. And he commended many others who helped him, but forgetting about this Jie Zitui specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But Jie Zitui didn't mind it. He found a small helmet in a mountain, and she was living his own life, right? Yeah, he was living a reclusive life.
Hmm.
And then all of a sudden, this king remembered him and thought, why did I miss this guy? I should also show my gratitude to this Jie Zitui as well. And then so this king found out where this Jie Zitui was and tried to invite him out to join his court. But Jie Zitui refused because he was thinking, well, I helped you because I was loyal to you, not because I wanted you a reward.
So I don't want anything in return, so I choose not to go out of that mountain. Later on, the emperor chose to kind of wanted to force him out and give him the credit that he deserved.
Yeah.
But Jie Zitui decided not to go out, even after the emperor decides to set a fire on the mountain to force him out.
Mm-hmm.
But the man values his loyalty and his name in a way,
yes,
way better or more than his own life. So he was dead in that mountain. And that's how the story ends. And then the emperor decided that, okay, if that happens, I would command all my fellows that on that day every year to try to remember, try to celebrate this man's dignity. And that's why that day would not be allowed for people to eat any cooked food.
So that's no one should set fire on that day.
No.
That's how an emperor or a king corrected his own mistakes
by
imposing something on everybody else, right? No hot food, no fire, no cooking, nothing.
But nonetheless, that's the spirit that we should commend, actually. Loyalty and also...
Okay, legend has it, but whether it's true or not. But anyway, that's the origin of Han Shi Jie, right?
Han Shi Jie is the day before Qingming Festival. Mm. Yes.
And then eventually those two holidays are merged
together
as festivals. Mm-hmm. So now we have the tradition of that festival. So what do actually people do on this festival?
Worshipping the ancestors, I think modern city people definitely just go to the cemeteries to, you know, lay flowers there. Or I saw mostly in Beijing, the mega city, you're not allowed to burn, you know, the paper money, you know, all these sacrifices, offerings, we call it. But flowers and cakes. Dancing, there are small cakes are most popular. You can notice that in front of some of the tombs tablets there are flowers. So they go and pay a visit either a few days ago. I think last weekend should be the official starting of this Qingming Festival
period.
You know, visits. Mm. Yes,
wow.
And I went to see, you know, my deceased loved ones.
Yeah.
So that today I can work on this very day. Because if everybody goes out on this very day, just imagine the traffic. And there's no place to park your cars. Because cemeteries usually located outside of, you know, Beijing in the suburban areas.
That's where we are, in Babaoshan.
Oh, yeah, we are very close.
In the neighborhood of Babaoshan. I remember today, early on, coming to work, I was stuck in traffic.
Uh-huh, see.
And there were people trying to line up on the road, trying to find a parking space. And I think I was stuck in traffic for 5 minutes, and there were policemen trying to direct the traffic. That's why I could make it here in time.
Since we're sharing personal stories, actually right before the show, I had some friends asking me, actually not asking me to be more specific. It was in a WeChat group and we were discussing, and all of a sudden a friend said, okay, I'm going to pay my respect to a deceased family member for the first time, so we don't really know what to bring. And some other friends suggest that you should bring some flowers, of course, and also some water and some little dessert or cake thing to do the sacrificing. And also you should bring a towel so that you can clean the tomb.
Let me tell you, the service of Wan'an public sort of cemetery is so good. Because every year I forgot to bring a towel. And something to sweep. But this year they prepared a small bucket with a towel, a brush in it. And I thought that maybe I should pay 1 kuai or 2 kuai for it. They said it's for free. So you just borrow and they offer the water. And then it's just all the cemeteries are doing its, you know, job in such a good way that we feel so touched.
Yeah.
And being very thankful, Chinese services are improving.
Yeah.
More humane and people friendly, I mean.
Especially people are particularly vulnerable at this time of year when they try and remember their deceased ones. So showing a little kind heart at this moment would go a long miles, especially to rich people. And I think earlier I mentioned that our roundtable is collecting comments from our viewers as to how they celebrate this Qingming Festival. And we did have a comment from some girl named Fion. I think she's from Dongguan. She's sending a long message to describe how her family celebrates the festival. And she says her family prepares a number of sacrificial items for the Qingming Festival, such as roast pork, chicken, and goose, and also apples, green cakes, alcohol, as well as candles and incense. Now, every family takes turn to conduct the ritual in the altar for the ancestors, much in the same way that their moms worship the gods more often. And only this time the ritual is held for their ancestors. Now, according to this girl's observation, moms from different families chant differently. I mean, I think they certainly have different wishes for this living members of the family. And they would certainly wish their ancestor to protect them and help them realize those wishes. Now, while the fathers would put a layer of gilded paper to the urns containing the ashes of the ancestors. And afterwards, they will burn plenty of joss paper or gold paper for the ancestors. I think in Chinese it's called mingbi or zhibi. Mm-hmm. So fake money, basically, mm-hmm. that you believe that the deceased ones will be able to use once wherever they are.
Even though if you're generous, you want to really burn the real money. Number one, it's a crime to commit it. Number
don't
two,
do that.
Legend has it that the deceased will not be able to receive them because the money belongs to the living.
So there you go. You learn something new every day. And also, Fionn continues to say that her big village is in fact comprised of several families. However, after a few generations, they may be honoring the same ancestors, but they don't really know each other so well. And at least that's the case for people of their age. I mean, she's a young lady born after 1995. And also at night, people in the same village, or at least from the same big family, they will pool resources to have a huge banquet together. Mm. And then the elders would seem to know each other very well, whereas the younger generations don't seem to get along that much. Even if they seem to hang out as a kid, they seem to have grown quite distant from each other, especially when they have smartphones.
And the distinction between the rural areas, people from the rural areas and the city people, is that the city people are making it simple as possible. Mm-hmm. Maybe a bouquet of flower will do. And usually you remember them in your heart. But then when you go to even Shanghai's suburban areas, it's so complicated. As you said, as our listener already described, it's almost the same. And then each family, if you have more than one son, two daughter, you know, how many siblings you have, each family will prepare a complete set of feast to offer. So after the ceremony, some will be eaten by the living, but some is going to be wasted. Mm. And then some of the cemeteries have already been reformed. One thing, I lost my beloved in-laws last year, so I went there to see. And the cemetery is like the space is enough only to hold the urn. Is it an urn?
The urn
the urn. And if you have two boxes, so it's only this little bit of space, and then bury. On top is soil, mm-hmm. and then on top is brush, you know, bushes. Mm. Ah. Bushes, plants. Mm. So only the name is carved on a piece of stone, which is like a curbstone.
Ah.
So you will see where, you know, okay, if you don't know, it's a cemetery. It's like a park.
Might as well be
with
a park.
Lot of bushes. And then you go closer. Oh, okay. On the curb is the names. So it only cost for a couple, because my in-laws, they both went passed away. 3,500 something for two people. This is the
A year or once in four?
Once for all. So it's a cemetery, a local cemetery of a small town in the suburban district of Songjiang of Shanghai.
Well, that's certainly a very grassroots place.
Yes.
And then interesting is that when we visit, everybody say, hey, you know, all the villagers passed
know
away.
Each other.
They buried together.
Yeah.
And the livings are thinking, oh, this is Uncle Who, and that is something. So it's kind of inherited from the traditional old sort of ways of family cemeteries.
Or community cemetery.
That means we want to be, it's all about togetherness.
Yeah.
You know, after we separate, we still want to be together.
In the afterlife, you can still choose to have a good neighbor and have the kind of relationship.
With your family.
Yeah, with family, with close friends, what lives in the same neighborhood. And that's really beautiful. And also, I think it's better to know that there are areas where this kind of service is not that expensive, because netizens are complaining that it's very expensive to have.
But, this one I asked because it's cheap, right? I'm thinking about maybe I can join them. No, it's only for the local.
Maybe that's why.
It's from the local.
It's a family thing.
It's a community thing.
Yeah, because we have reports on Shanghai Hotline, hot.online.shanghai.cn, saying that the most expensive cemetery in the city costs 238,000 yuan each.
Oh,
and that
God.
Is only a 0.56 square meters big kind of space. So one square meter in this cemetery costs 425,000 yuan. And
can I give you a reference? 2001, one place for my, ex-husband, I spent 80,000 kuai. 80,000 yuan. But one.
That was a lot.
That was already a lot.
Yeah, and that was 2001.
And it's not Ba Bao Shan because I chose a place. One and cemetery lies in the beautiful at the foot of the mountain of fragrance or fragrant mountain.
Xiangshan.
Xiangshan, very beautiful place. But now it's much, much more expensive now, right?
Yeah. And this is only a practical reason why a lot of people now are choosing ecological burial. And there are other reasons, including that the area where we can actually lay the coffins in are getting less and less and fewer space in the planet that we can use. And also there are proven scientific results saying that this kind of way of burying the deceased family members is not really environmental friendly. So now a lot of people are thinking about ecological burial, so it's greener, and I think in a way it's also very edgy and innovative, including having a certain part of the ashes buried in the ground where you can grow a tree, grow certain flowers. It's also beautiful. You can talk to the tree like you talk to the past family member.
That's certainly very interesting. I also read in the news that maybe Beijing, the city of Beijing, is starting its first fleet, or at least the first ship that sends the ashes of people, deceased people, out
burial
to the sea. I mean, this practice has existed for some time now, but it's only recently that we've seen reports about official fleet or official boat doing that specially designated mission for these people. And also, I think early on in the show, we talk about how Chinese people seem to be a little gloomy when it comes to this topic. But actually, no, not that wouldn't be the case. My argument is, in fact, that Chinese people have, well, sometimes can take it easy on these matters, especially in ancient China. We remember this term, Zhuangzi Gu Pen. So there's this philosopher in ancient China, Zhuangzi, who was very happy. And he was playing some kind of music by hitting or blowing or on a pan or a basin to form it's a special musical performance. And people were asking, why are you so happy? Why are you playing music when your wife is deceased? And he said, well, I'm happy for her because she has now rejoined nature.
Yeah, indeed. I think nowadays or recent years, we see the signs of taking this, a death issue or topic lightheartedly. Lightheartedly means you're not really contempt all these things. You really respected the dead. But as I said at the very beginning of this show, is that we commemorate in order to celebrate life. It's the life that worth celebration. So when I think 10 or 20 years when I was working outside of China, in the, especially Western countries, then I was really shocked to see during the funeral services, people are cracking jokes and laughing into tears, you know. I was like, how could you manage to do that? I know I appreciate the humor, talking about the deceased friend, for example, you know, remembering him when we were together. Like if one day I was away, you can do the show, say, hey, you know, Manling is such an interesting person. Once she said something so interesting, so people start laughing. For a Chinese lady then, 10 or 20 years ago, it was really shocking. But now I understand. But then I also see the disparity, the gap still there between Chinese people's mentality, you know, the attitude towards the topic of death, and then the Western. For example, Wan'an Cemetery has the most beautiful greenery surroundings because it's the foot of the mountain, fragrance. But people went there, usually just to quickly finish their business and leave. Seldom, maybe now more and more people will have a look because there are historical figures buried there. There are a lot of things. But in the West, you know, people always go to the cemetery to take a walk because it's a green area. So we are afraid of ghosts. But people there, like Halloween, celebrating Halloween, they embrace the diseases, the spirits and ghosts, more sort of, I don't know, at ease than us. We became very nervous.
Or it's possible that we try to show the respect at least to others because we don't know if the other people doing their ceremony or try to remembering and talking about, the whole culture.
We dare not, even though I have a joke to crack, but I dare not, right?
Yeah.
I dare not because you might or you definitely are going to offend the others. Everybody, because it's not our tradition, right?
Yeah, but yes. I think there's no good or bad when it comes to remembering and celebrating the life and thinking about the disease. It's just personal choice, and as long as you are spending quality time thinking about the deceased family, it's always a good activity to do during this period of time.
I think we almost reached the end of our first topic, and I'd like to share something that I read in Chinese classics. 慎终追远, 明德归后, means when people are careful about the elderly people and to see to the end of it, and that's when they can eventually return and find the virtue of people.